Good morning. Greetings to each of you. It is good to see some of you back in service here again this morning. You may turn with me to Proverbs 31. I'd like to read that passage this morning to begin. I would like to preach a sermon that I'm titling A Tribute to Mom, and I am in fact thinking about my mother. And this Mother's Day is the first since Mom is gone just a few months ago. And my mom's pretty special. She was. And as I thought about the things that make my mother special to me, I also had the recognition that every mother is special. And I went through this experience of losing both my parents in the last 2 years, and that really changes the way you think about life. But again, I'm not alone in that. Many people have lost their parents. It's just that we have experiences that you really don't understand until you've been through them yourself. And so thinking about Mom this morning is pretty special to me, and she's a special woman. But in going through this, and I'm going to talk about who she was and how I saw her, and I'm going to read Proverbs 31. And on my way to church here this morning, I'm thinking, whoa, Mother's Day, I'm hitting the ladies with Proverbs 31. Maybe that's not the wisest thing in the world to do. But, you know, if you look at the world today, there's like 8 billion people, I think. And if every family has 2 or 3 children, and then there's singles or people who never had children, if you're a mother here this morning, you are someone that is in the company of 1 billion other ladies in the world today. 1 billion. I don't think that number's, I mean, I didn't do any research on these numbers. But you think of all the today politicians and leaders of countries, there's a lot of them, and they're pretty important people today with everything that's going on. But I'm going to guess that they probably don't number much over millions. I don't know. But mothers number in the billions. And so the idea that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world still is a pretty big deal. And so even if you're looking at yourself this morning and saying, wow, I just don't measure up, you're in a company of 1 billion other ladies who've done incredible jobs at raising the leaders of the world and the executives of the world and all of the people who get more acclaim than you do. And so just think of it like that. Let's read Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil. All the days of her life she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. I didn't write this down, but I think I can safely say that for most days when I was at home, my mom was the first out of bed, and I think she was the last into bed too. That was her. I don't know if that's true for all moms, but it was true for her. She was the first up and the last to go to bed, I think. And provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers it a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, so she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and her own works praise her in the gates. So my mother was L. Lucille Martin. That's how she was known. She was Leah Lucille Martin. Ironically, my mom had six brothers and sisters, and three of them went by their middle name. I'm not sure. I never asked my aunts and uncles why that was in their family, but three of them were called by their second name. So my mom's first name was Leah, but we called her Lucille, and she went by Lucy or Lucille all her life. She was born on February 27, 1944, to Irvin and Arlene Martin during World War II. Her dad was away at the CPS camp in Grotos, Virginia, while she was just little. She grew up in the Weaverland Valley, and they went as a family to the Weaverland Mennonite Church. Her dad was a deacon there for many years. I don't know how long. Mom graduated in 1962 from the Lancaster Mennonite High School and went on into nurse's training at Lancaster General Hospital. And then she graduated as an RN in 1964. In the fall of 65, she married Larry L. Groff from Reamstown. And for the first 2 years of their marriage, they lived in Washington, D.C. I think it was 3 weeks, a month or so before their wedding date, Dad was called up for the draft to the Vietnam War. And I believe that they actually moved their wedding date forward 3 weeks, got married quickly, and left the next day for Washington, D.C. And Monday morning, they were on the job at the Prince George Hospital and serving. Mom worked as a nurse, and Dad as a maintenance department in the Prince George Hospital. So that was their experience of life. In 1967, they would have moved back to Lancaster County, took up residence, spent their lives in the Denver Effort area, and raised five children, and they did a good job with that. Dad was a minister at Martindale Church from 1976 to, I think, about 1995. So I'd like to talk about Mom a little bit this morning. I'd like to pull out about six things that I think mothers show and use stories from my mom's life to illustrate that. Mothers have unique qualities, and almost all of them exhibit these things that I'm talking about to some degree or another. And if you were giving a tribute to your mom this morning, you would have different uniquenesses about her that you appreciate. So, this is my mother and how I appreciated her. Mom passed away a couple months ago, as most of you know, after a two-year battle with a cancerous brain tumor. She was 74, almost 75 when she died. Dad would have died 2.5 years before that. So my reflections come on this halls of these hard years, the heels of these hard years, tough times that we went through. And so it's a bittersweet memory here today. I became very much aware that life really is a vapor. It is fleeting. It is passing. If your mother is here today, make sure you take time to appreciate her. You might feel irritations, and she may have hurt you. But as I look back on my life with my parents and some of the hard things that I may have felt, my parents weren't perfect. My parents were not perfect. There was things that I didn't do well, or they didn't do well with me in terms of me, especially with getting along with Dad. But I found that as I've made peace with that part of my life and forgiven the things that need forgiven and made right the things that I need to make right with them, that the bad stuff faded really fast. Almost to the point that I can think about them and it's like, well, is that really how you felt? Like, was it really that good? But the bad fades fast when you make peace with the past. When we forgive the things that need to be forgiven, and when we make right the things that we've done wrong against other people, and we deal with those hard things from the past, those demons of the past, as we call it sometimes, we take care of those things, the bad things in our memories can fade away, and they don't have to hang on to us forever. And so that's a little bit where I'm at with that part of life. I didn't want to like my first point here, my first point is mom wasn't perfect. And I don't really want to take over and talk about all that kind of stuff, but she did tend to have a way of not being bossy, but controlling things. And she had a way of putting her two cents in ways that I think actually, like, that was part of maybe what dad got irritated with her sometimes. And the story I want to tell is after dad died, it was, I forget exactly when it was, but a few weeks later, we brought mom along home with us. And then while I was taking her back down, I was loading some things to take back to Lancaster. There was a heavy railroad wagon that I had, and I was loading this on my trailer. And it had iron wheels on it, and so it wanted to slip off the planks that I was loading it with. And so my mom, at 72, 73, whatever, came out, and she was sitting there on the wall beside me while I was loading this. And she was telling me how to load this wagon. And she wanted to jump up and start pushing on the back of the wagon. And this wagon's like heavy enough to run over her. And I was just like, mom, just let it go. Just back off and give me some space here. I got this under control, you know? So mom wasn't perfect, but they're kind of funny things that she did have a sense of humor. And I will tell a few things about her, her sense of humor as we go here. Mom was a keeper at home. So there are verses in the New Testament that tell ladies to be keepers at home. And that's an interesting, like, if you go through the generations, keepers at home, I think, meant different things in different times of history. And yet, it really is looking at the heart of where is a woman's heart? Is her heart really at home? And that's the challenge that is laid out before ladies today. Today, I think our world, especially since, I want to say back to the 40s when World War II happened and the women were called up to take the place of men in the workforce, the call through the 40s, 50s, 60s has really pressured at least the American women to think of life as a career, and that if you're doing the wife and mother thing, that somehow you haven't quite achieved what you need to achieve in life. And that's a lie. You know, I want to be heard as saying that that's a lie that has been placed out there. Mom was a keeper at home. And so I'm not criticizing people who have jobs. I'm not criticizing women who do have jobs. That's all right. My wife has a job too. She helps me. And she delivers newspapers along with me. And I think a lot of the ways that we find women working right alongside their husbands is just a real... real blessing. We have a lot of fun working together, and that's great. A keeper at home is a mother whose first priority in her time and in her heart is her things at home, her family being fed. We read this passage of all the things that she does. She doesn't fear the winter. She doesn't fear her family being out of food. She can take care of that. We had a huge garden back home. Now, here in our area, we don't garden near like we did back home. But we had a big garden back home. I was describing it to the children the other day. We actually had two gardens during the busy years. And I remember working out there. I remember mom having talks with me while I hoed corn beside her. And those were actually special times that we spent together. We had so many rows of corn or beans or potatoes that needed hoed. And we children were assigned our... number of rows, and we had to get them done whether today was the day. And if the sun was going to be 90 in the afternoon, you were wise if you got out at 6 o'clock in the morning and got your work done before the sun came up. And so I remember being out in the early morning when the ground was still cool, hoeing with mom. Mom took care of those kinds of things. Dad helped us put it in, but mom and us kids took care of the garden after that. So her priorities were at home, her house, her family, the clothing and cooking. These were things that she did. One of the jobs of a mother is to teach daughters how to be keepers at home. Being a keeper at home is an action. It is deeds, yes, but it is also a heart attitude. Being a keeper at home is being okay and loving what God has called you to as a mother. So, mother, the question is your heart at home? I know the circumstances are different for different people in terms of whether you actually work full-time at home or full-time away. Mom's heart was at home, but she also sewed for Sewing Circle, for MCC. Those were things that she enjoyed doing. One of the other things that happened that I remember when I was, I don't know if I was in school yet or not. I think I probably was. We had pigs and steers and things over the years. And one time we had this white Charolais steer that just grew and grew. And I'm not sure why we didn't butcher it, but it was soon very large. And finally it went to the butcher shop. And the butcher shop called Mom and said that the meat is ready to pick up. Bring a couple ice chests. So she did. She loaded up her station wagon with her ice chests, and she went to pick up this meat. Might have been like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know. But Mom went and picked up this meat, and it was 800 pounds of fresh meat that needed wrap. This was not wrap. She was going to wrap it herself. And so she came home and suddenly realized she's got ice chests of meat. She can't even unload. And it's out of refrigeration, and it needs wrapped now. So she called Dad, and Dad brought the men that worked with him, his workers, came home, and they wrapped the meat up. But Mom was going to take care of this. She was going to fix this. You know, the meat was ready to be picked up, so she went to pick it up, and she was going to wrap it and put it away. Her heart was in the work of home. Number three, Mom was supportive of her husband. In all of the things that Dad was at times, Mom never criticized Dad. I never remember my mom criticizing my dad to me. Never. Was not a thing that she, I remember complaining about him one time when I was 17. And she didn't go with me on it. And I was, I left there thinking differently about my attitude. As she let me know that I was not having a right attitude about that. Mom was a pastor's wife. And so during those 20 years that Dad was a pastor, they did a lot of visiting. They did a lot of counseling. They spent time with people. And Mom went with Dad, and she was very helpful in that. Dad was the kind of guy who, we had a cabin, and he would say to her in the beginning of the week that he maybe would like to go to the cabin sometime this weekend. I was thinking about it if it works out. Well, she might get a call at 10 o'clock on Friday morning and he's going to be home at 3 o'clock and they're going to head to the cabin for the weekend. And she had about 4 or 5 hours at max to get ready to pack and go to the cabin. And that was the kind of notice that she got sometimes. And so she would pack all this food. When we were growing up, we went to the cabin. There was way more food than we needed. Well, you know why? Because Mom had to go to the store quick and get food for the cabin. And so she'd go and she'd fill the shopping cart up, and then we'd load the car and go. But she supported Dad. She went with him. She helped Dad with lots of things. When we were building the cabin, Mom had a sense of humor too. And one day, while Mom and Dad were working on the cabin, Dad had some for a wall that needed braced, I don't know, but it was on the side of a steep bank. And my siblings might shoot me for telling these stories. I don't know if these are private stories or not, but some of them are listening right now too. Dad had this plank propped up against the wall of the cabin, and he wanted to press this wall to push it into place. It was a log cabin, something was out of line. And so he wanted Mom to push on it. Push on the plank to press it into place, and he was up on the scaffolding. He put his foot over on the plank. Well, Mom was apparently tired. She turned around and sat down on the plank, and it wasn't solid enough, and it broke. And so Mom fell, and Dad come tumbling off the scaffolding and rolled down the hill. And Mom had the capacity to stand up and laugh. It just was the funniest thing in the world for her. And Dad did not quite see the humor in the situation. Mom did have a sense of humor. The cabin was a place that was very special to us. It was our point of gathering as we grew up. And Mom had a chapel out at the cabin. She set some steel chairs, those old spring chairs, and some circle benches. And Mom had a chapel out in the woods that she would go out to. Some of you know that Mom had done some writing and poetry and Mom would write some of her poetry and things out there at the cabin. Mom had skills that were her own. I don't know if I'm missing a paper here because I'm not seeing that. But Mom lived her life with Dad, and yet at the same time, Mom lived a life that was her own too. She did lots of sewing. She was the kind of, she was the kind of sewing circle lady that if it wasn't perfect enough when the ladies left, she'd pull out. I don't know if she actually did that, but she would want to. She would want to pull out imperfect quilting and put the right quilting back in again. I don't know if that she actually ever did that, but she was the kind that when she quilted something, every corner lined up just perfectly. Mom had the skill to be able to do that. She was a really good seamstress. She sewed for MCC. She sewed for the relief sale. I think she was in charge of sewing circle for periods of years. She was a blessing to others. She was an RN in her time. Mom was capable. She could handle things, and she did that. And so she lived a life that had her own skills, too. As much as she was a supporter of her husband, she was a keeper at home, she had skills that were her own as well. Mom was a blessing to others. When she died, I was amazed at the number of people who said that she will be missed in their congregation. Over and over again, I heard that, to the point that I began to wonder if I had miscounted who my mom actually was. Like, you don't look at me as this amazing guy, all right? I'm just your guy, I'm a preacher here, and you don't look at me as being all that amazing. All right. We don't look at the people around us as being all that amazing. But a lot of times other people looking in see somebody very different than what we actually see. And so I wonder sometimes if the things that I carried along from my past, if I didn't see my parents in the same way other people saw them. And I was just astonished at the number of people that seemed to genuinely say, Mom is going to be missed. I mean, Mom was 73. She lived in an assisted living home. What was Mom contributing in the last years of her life to her church community? But I think she was. I think that she was still ministering to people. She was still giving advice. She was still, people coming to visit her were going away blessed by her life. You know, is that the testimony that people have when they spend time with us? You know? Whether you're a mom or whether you're any of us, we all need to be that kind of person. And so I was just really touched by how she reached out. Mom also had an evangelistic side to her. There was a couple in our neighborhood who was a bit of poor souls, not a bit of poor souls. They were poor souls, and it was they didn't smell good. And they needed to be carted around the town to get shopping and medicines and things like that. And Mom would take them in her car, drive with the windows down kind of thing. And Mom realized that this couple wasn't married. So she investigated along the way if they had ever been married before, and they weren't. It was just a man and a lady who lived together. And I think they've been together like 20 years. And over the course of time, Mom instructed them that the Bible really does say that you should be married if you're going to live together. And they got married. They got married because Mom said that that's really what they ought to do. And they went and had a wedding and got married because that was Mom's testimony. Mom loved to give. One time when the Mountain Anthems was singing at Martindale, the director shared that they had $600 of unpaid tape sales, that people had taken tapes off the, that was back in the days of cassettes, that was before CDs, had taken recordings, and there was $600 worth of unpaid stuff. Mom went home the next day and wrote out a check for $600 and sent it in to them. And she wanted to give, and so she did. Mom, lastly, was a prayer warrior. When my mother died, I lost a prayer warrior. I can't tell you how many times in the last 20 years my mom would tell me that she's praying for me. My mom prayed for me, and she knew what was going on in my life. My mom knew the stresses that I was under. She knew my workload, my ministry, and things that I'm doing. And I began to be aware of how much that she prayed. Now, all mothers pray for their children. There's no question about that. But I keenly felt my mother's prayers. And I knew that mom was praying for me all the time. And so I really missed that when she died. I would be able to call her and ask her specifically because I knew that I could count on those prayers being prayed. And I knew that she wasn't forgetting. It was very special. Mom prayed for people at her family and her church, for people in the neighborhood and over the seas. She cared for souls that would be saved and that they'd be living right. In our bathroom at our house here, I just saw this last week. There's hanging on our wall at home here. D.L. Moody says, the impression a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. You know, mothers, it is really important to pray for your children. And when you take that job seriously, it impacts their lives, all of their life. Really, really important for y'all to do that. So God bless all of you mothers today. My mom was special. And since this is her first Mother's Day that she's gone, I think it's okay to talk about her like this today. But you're all really special. No matter where you are, you're all really special. Each one of you is special and has your own traits and skills, uniquenesses that make you dear to those who call you mom. And God has given you a place of honor. God has given you a task. God has given you something that he has called you to do, and do not become weary in doing well with that. Don't let this world tell you that being a mother is less than, because it's not. Being a mother is one of the most important things. Don't listen to those voices in the secular world that are telling you that there's something else you can do. There is no higher calling for womanhood than that of being a wife and a mother. That there is something better that you young ladies are being told to aspire unto is a lie. But it's tempting because applaud for mothers in our world today is fairly soft. And the applaud for career things and prominence is high. And that's our Western world. But don't buy into that lie. Being a mother and being a wife and loving your family is the highest calling that God can give you. God has rewards for you. God has rewards for you. When you get home, having completed your race on earth, he will say, well done. I intended to read this morning a song that became very special after mother died and in the weeks before, but I'm not sure if I can do that. So if you want to, look up Well Done by the Afters. It's a really incredible song and talks about finishing life and what will it be like when you call my name at the moment when I see you face to face. Well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. That's God's call for all of us, to be well done. So whether you're a mother or a father or a child or a single or a widow or whatever your place is in this world, God has placed us here. He's given each of us a task to do, and his call to us is to be faithful. And when we do that, we'll be able to hear, well done, my beloved child. Welcome to the place where you belong. It's an incredible, incredible thing to look forward to. So God bless all of you. And if you have a mother today, take time to make her special. Take time to appreciate and love on her today. She deserves it. God bless you all. I have a song.
Thank you, Kevin, and each of you for being here this morning, and look forward to next week again with another group, but that's okay. Yeah, so much could be said, and just to affirm and amen what Kevin has said already, and if your mother is still alive, make sure you know that, or she knows that she's appreciated, and her task has been a very high calling in life. So Let's all stand for closing prayer. Let's pray. Father God, as we conclude this service again, may your Spirit go with us, lead, guide, and direct us as we anticipate and look to another week of what you have for us. And again, Father, as you work and lead in our lives, may we be willing and accept what you bring into our lives and to face it with your help and seek you and turn to you for that empowering help that you can offer us. Bless each one for being here and in their homes as they worship with us this morning. God, for sharing. And again, Father, may you receive honor and glory for what was said and done. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.